All right, well, very good. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and get started with our message tonight. It comes from Psalm 133. Psalm 133, and the title of it is called Living Together in Unity. Living Together in Unity. And I want to just read this passage for us tonight as we get started. It's one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And I think for us, it's certainly very, very appropriate as we are in this time of transition. It's very important that we be continually reminded of the importance of unity and how we love each other and how we defend unity at all costs. So let me read Psalm 133. And the writer says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever." You know, all of us, I'm sure, have great memories of family trips from our childhood. And I can remember as a kid riding along with my family. And, you know, many times when we had family trips, they were always, you know, interesting. There were always things to talk about. And, you know, there's occasionally that time when there's a family member that has their nose out of joint. You know, there's just something, you know, they're upset about. They're griping and murmuring. You know, usually it was one of the children. I'll blame my sister, usually my sister, but not really. There were times when, you know, I wasn't a happy camper either. But, you know, when there's just one person in the car that's whining and belly aching, you know, it just kind of ruins it for everyone else. And I can remember on occasion, you know, we're riding down the road and my dad looks in the rearview mirror and he's looking right at me and he said, "Boy, if I have to pull this car over, it's going to be bad." Y'all ever had a message like that before? Yeah, I think we can all relate to that. Well, you know, I want to talk to you about another family trip, and it is from Psalm 133. Now, this psalm is one of the psalms of ascents, or some call them pilgrim songs. And so as families travel together with other families to Jerusalem to the annual feast, they would sing these songs to prepare their hearts for worship. And so the city of Jerusalem is situated on a very high hill. And so Jews traveling to Jerusalem for one of the three main annual Jewish festivals traditionally sang these songs on the ascent uphill to Jerusalem. Now, Psalm 133 tells us three important things about living together in unity. First of all, it tells us of the goodness of living together in unity. But secondly, it tells us the source of living together in unity. And then lastly, it tells us the blessing of living together in unity. And so essentially, that's the outline for tonight. And I want us to examine this text together. So let's look first at the goodness of living together in unity. The psalmist writes in verse 1, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, it's true that not all translations have it, but in the Hebrew text, there is this word at the beginning, behold. Behold. And so the goodness of living together in unity is so good. It is so inviting that the psalmist says, behold. He's saying, look at it. Marvel at it. It is something to behold. No. Stop what you're doing and look at this marvel we call unity. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing to behold. You know, I've discovered in this life that there are very few things in life that really make us go, wow. Some years ago, My family and I went to the Grand Canyon. Now, I've always seen pictures of the Grand Canyon all my life, and I thought, well, you know, that looks, you know, pretty nice, you know. But we went to the Grand Canyon, and we saw it firsthand, and yes, my response was, wow, look at this. Well, listen, what I want you to understand is this. Unity is something that should cause us to go, wow. Christian unity is certainly one of the things in this life that should cause us to stop and go, wow. You know, the word translated pleasant here is a word that means beautiful, a word that means sweet or lovely. So not only is unity good in God's sight, but it is good for you and for me too. Yes. And so whether you're a family, whether you're a business, a church, a sports team, life is so much more pleasant and enjoyable when everyone is getting along. Am I right? I mean, who wants to hang around a bunch of folks whining and bellyaching? So our text says that unity is both good and pleasant. Good and pleasant. Now that's significant. Listen, there are some things in life that are good but not pleasant. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but what? Painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We've all been there. When we were little children and we disobeyed our parents and dad takes the belt out of the belt loop. Y'all ever been there before? Every child needs to hear the sound of leather coming out of dad's belt loops. It'll put the fear of God in you. The belt comes out and dad administers discipline. And you know the line very well. This hurts me more than it hurts you. Yeah, right. It's good for us. It's good for us, but it's not pleasant, is it? Some things are good, but not pleasant. But listen, on the flip side, some things are pleasant, but not good. I love banana pudding. I believe with all my heart, banana pudding will be the manna of heaven. I believe that. And I believe everybody ought to love banana pudding. And I just enjoy any opportunity I have to eat banana pudding. And you know, occasionally Denise will make a banana pudding. But, you know, honestly, you can't mess up a banana pudding. I can eat it any way it comes. I just love it. But you know what? It's good. I love eating. I love the taste of it, the flavor of it is so delightful. But listen, it's not good. It's good to the taste, but listen, it's not good for my health in the long run. So listen, I can eat banana pudding for lunch and go home and step on the scales and realize, whoops, banana pudding may taste good, but it's not good for me. Amen? You know, some things are good, but not pleasant. Other things are pleasant, but not good. But listen, when you're living in unity, you get the best of both worlds. The best of both worlds. It's both good and perfect for you. And that's how we know it's a gift of God. For you and for me. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. It's from above. Coming down from the Father of lights. I love Acts 2:42-47. That provides for us a beautiful picture of a church living in unity. These people were absolutely committed to unity. They loved each other. And as you read the text, boy, you can just feel it. The warmth that they enjoyed together. Listen to what the text says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All believers were together and had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Oh, I love that, don't you? I love that. And that's the longing of my heart for the church today. What a beautiful picture of unity. So listen, living together in unity is both good and pleasant. But secondly, I want to say to you that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice our text. In verse 1, David writes, "How good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." Now notice they said brothers and not sisters. Sisters mess up everything. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to start a church feud tonight. But it says how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. You know, the people of Israel who first received this psalm were literally brothers. They were blood kin, and they were relatives and descendants of a common father. But listen, as Christians, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. We've all been adopted into God's family, and God is our Father. I'm an adopted child myself, so I can stand before you tonight and say, I'm twice adopted. And how I thank God for adopting me into His family. And for those of us who have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, listen, you've been adopted into a wonderful family. We call it the church. Now, I don't know about you, but I've learned that families don't always get along. Sometimes we disagree. You know, sometimes we get angry at each other, but at the end of the day, listen, we still love each other. And should a family member be picked on by someone outside the family, we're going to drop everything to go defend our family member. Amen? Hebrews 13:1 says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Keep on loving each other as brothers. No, stop. No, the text says, keep on loving each other. We're to love each other. So verse 1 tells us that we're to love one another. So friends, listen to me. I want you to hear me say this. I want you to know, church, every one of you, I want you to know that I love you, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. I love you. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. None of us are perfect, but we're all redeemed, and we have been adopted into the family of God. And so because you're my brothers and sisters, I want you to know I love you. And there's not one thing you can do about it. So in verse 1, we learn the goodness of living together in unity. But in verses 2 and 3, we find the source of living together in unity. Let's look at the source of living together in verses 2 and 3. So what is the source of this unity that is good and pleasant? Our psalm answers that question by giving us two images. Now this is kind of weird here, but bear with me. First, living together in unity is like oil poured on Aaron's head. And secondly, it's like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. But notice here, there is a downward movement in both of these images. And in both of these images, the blessing comes from above and then pours down on us. It starts high and then moves downward. So this section of the psalm clearly tells us, listen, that God is the source of our unity. God is. So let's look at these two images a little more closely. First of all, it is like oil poured on Aaron's head. Now, you probably know that oil was a valued commodity in ancient Israel. It certainly was. Hey, we're not talking about Quaker State or Havoline oil either. I tease with people sometimes when I hear they're struggling with their health. You know, they may have a bad cold or whatever, and they can't shake it. And you know, I'll tease with them, well, hey, what I'll do is I'll go get us a can of Havoline, and I'll call the deacons, and we'll come over and anoint you with oil and pray over you. I say that lightly. But what I want you to understand is that, you know, Quaker State and Havoline engine oil may be pricey, but they're not precious oils. They're not precious oils. This oil the psalmist speaks of is a precious oil. A precious oil. It is precious because it is good in God's sight, and He is pleased with it. He's pleased with it. This precious oil is poured upon Aaron's head. Now, this may sound weird to us today, but it was a practice to pour this precious oil upon the heads of people we choose to bless. Why? Because it was a symbol of hospitality and generosity, and it wasn't cheap stuff. You're expressing generosity to them, but the practice of pouring oil on someone's head was refreshing to the skin in their hot and dry climate, but it also communicated to that person how special they were and that they were welcomed with hospitality and with unity. Now, Psalm 23, verse 5 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." What a beautiful picture of what the Spirit of God does for the believer today. He refreshes and revitalizes us and fills us, what? With joy. Listen, the Spirit of God is the source of our joy. But listen, this precious oil isn't just poured on the head. Our text tells us that it runs down the beard of Aaron. So in other words, this is not just a little bit of oil. No, we're talking here of abundant oil. Abundant. We're talking of an oil that's poured out lavishly. It speaks of the abundant blessings that come from God. Again, James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from where? Above, coming from the Father." So Christian fellowship is like oil poured out on the head, running down on the beard. It is precious. It is refreshing. It is revitalizing. It's a gift from God, and God is generous with His gift. He doesn't hold anything back. He lavishes His presence in your life. But notice also that the oil runs down from the head to the beard to what? The collar of Aaron's robes. Aaron's robe is significant here because on his robe are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the robe image here is talking about us as the people of God. And so the good blessing of Christian unity flows from the head to the beard to the robe. So what I'm saying to you tonight is that this is a picture of the whole body of Christ united together with Jesus Christ as our head. Oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And what do we learn from the New Testament? We learn that God poured out His Spirit on Jesus, the head, and Jesus poured out the Spirit on His body, the church. And so the sacred anointing oil had a sweet-smelling fragrance. And so friends, listen, as you and I are yielded to the Spirit of God, and as we enjoy the sweet fellowship of His presence and the fellowship of mutual love for one another, there is this sweet aroma in the air. Listen, we've all been there before, right? Where we have been in these maybe prayer meetings, and we've been together, we've labored in prayer together, and we have maybe wept together, we've shared each other's burdens, and there's just somehow this sweetness in the air, and we find ourselves not wanting to leave because of how sweet the occasion is. We look around and we see people that we dearly love, and it literally hurts our heart to leave because we don't want this feeling that we have, this joy that we're experiencing, to go away. That's what it is to experience Christian unity. And listen, that is the will of God for His people, that we be united, that we love one another, and we experience the anointing oil of the Spirit of God washing over us. And as we are yielded to Him, as we let go of sin and ego and anything else that prohibits the move of God in our hearts and lives, friends, that is when we can truly, truly experience unity and fellowship, just as we saw described in the early church. Oh, friends, may that be true of us. May that be true of us. So let's look at the second image of unity. And it's described this way. It is like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. Look in verse 3. It is if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Mount Hermon is located in the northern part of Israel, extending along the border of Lebanon and Syria. Now, it's the highest mountain in Israel, with an altitude of over 9,000 feet above sea level. And it's known for its cool nights and heavy dews. And in the winter, it's covered with snow, and valleys around Hermon stay lush and green all summer long because of the heavy dews that run down the slopes of Hermon. But compare that with Mount Zion. Mount Zion is on the southern part of Israel, and it's much smaller than Hermon. It only has an altitude of 2,400 feet above sea level. And unlike Hermon, Mount Zion is very dry. It has very little moisture, very little dew or rain at all during the summer months. So it's very dry. So we have two very different mountains here, Hermon to the north and Zion to the south. Hermon towering over all the other mountains, and Zion just part of a mountain range. And Mount Hermon is cool and refreshing, whereas Mount Zion is hot and dry and sultry. So here's the point. Listen, apart from God's blessing, we are like the dry land of Zion. But God sends His blessing upon us like the dews of Mount Hermon. And so the fact that Hermon and Zion are united by the dew in this image should remind us that in the church, we are all one. We are all one. It is a unity of the great and the small, the high and the low. The north and the south are brought together by God's blessing. And so this is a unity that crosses all human boundaries and divisions. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all," what? One. Say one. One. We're one in Christ Jesus. In Christ we are one. In Christ we have a special unity that the world will never know. We have a unity that the world longs to experience. And we should preserve it. Dew is refreshing. And Christian fellowship should also be refreshing. We should leave church feeling refreshed and renewed, charged and revved up and eager to go serve the Lord and tell people all about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But lastly tonight, I want us to look at the blessing of living together in unity. Look at the rest of verse 3. It says, "For there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore." This verse teaches us two vital truths. First of all, God gives His blessing where believers live together in unity. God gives His blessing where believers live together in unity. May I ask you a question? Do you want God's blessing on your life? Do you want God's blessing on your church, your family? Then you need to live in unity. We don't get a vote in the matter. We are to live in unity. Make no mistake, though, this is something that we cannot do apart from Christ. We can't fake it. We can't manufacture it. Whenever we experience disunity, let me tell you something. It is because we have taken our eyes off of Jesus. And we start putting our eyes on everything else but Him. We start aligning ourselves with other people rather than on Jesus. And friends, whenever we do that, listen, we will find ourselves experiencing division. No, Jesus is true north. And we need to keep our thoughts, our minds, our hearts completely focused upon Him. Because when we do, when we are all collectively looking to Christ, we're not going to experience disunity, but sweet harmony. Only as we focus on Christ as the head of the body and yield to the Spirit within us can we know the sweet fragrance of living together in unity. In Ephesians 4 verse 3, Paul writes, "We need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to raise your right hand. And I want you to take this pledge after me. Okay? "I will make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Are you willing? You're all duly sworn in. All of us have a responsibility to protect the unity of the Spirit in this church. All of us. That is your job. That's your job. And we must protect it. I'm here to tell you the devil will bring confusion and discord at any opportunity he can find. We need to be wise to his schemes. And friends, above all, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. No one else. Look to Jesus. And friends, let me say something to you. Please don't ever put me on a pedestal. Don't ever put me on a pedestal. I am a flawed and broken, messed up human being just like everyone else, and I need the grace of God just like everyone else. But I'm here to tell you, all of us should put our eyes on Jesus. Put Him on the pedestal and worship Him and praise Him. And as we do so, we experience abundant joy. You know, there's a special place where God has promised to place His blessing. And that place is where believers are living together in unity. Listen, the more we focus on Him, the greater our unity will be. Worship and unity and blessing are all tied together. They're all tied together. In verse 3, we see the word bestows. That's an interesting word. Another word for it is commands. So what I want you to understand is this. Where believers live in unity, watch this. God commands His blessing to be there. So wherever we're living in unity, God will bless it. He will bless it. If you want to experience God's blessing, then you need to live in unity. But lastly tonight, I want to say this. Living together in unity is a foretaste of heaven. It's a foretaste of heaven. You know, the beauty and joy of unity we experience today is only a foretaste of what's to come. Listen, friends, the best is yet to come. That day of perfect harmony and unity is coming. Living together in unity is a foretaste of heaven. Listen, we are having heaven practice tonight. Amen? And we're to love one another. So let us be committed to preserving the unity of our fellowship. And I want you to know, friends, again, that I love you. And there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. I love you as my family. You know, when I was a kid growing up at First Baptist Church in Cairo, Georgia, I remember going to Sunday night church with my family. And for many, many years, on Sunday nights at the end of the service, we would stand and hold hands together and we would sing the old hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." You know, I was just a kid at the time, never really thought about the significance of that song. But what a beautiful, beautiful message that song is. And what a great reminder of what we're to be about. We're to love one another. And we go out into the community and we share the love of Christ with those who desperately need to find it. You know, for me as a kid, that was always a wonderful time singing that song along with my family. And you know, tonight as we close, I want us to conclude the same way. So what I'd like to ask you to do just very quickly, if you would just stand wherever you are, just please stand and move close together. I want you to join hands with those to your left and right. I'm going to give it a stab, okay? Y'all don't laugh. Here's what I want us to do while we're joining hands together. Can we just stop for just a second? And what I want to ask you to do is quietly pray for that person to your left and right. And then I want to just voice a prayer for all of us. And when I say amen, we're going to sing together, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," okay? Can we do that? Just go ahead and pray for that person to your left and your right.